May the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as they say, 'tis the season. On the news, I saw that Bright Nights in Springfield is all aglow and up and running. Official tree lighting ceremonies have begun throughout the region. Our very own Mary Maple, right outside, will join the others this coming Friday. Speaking of Fridays, Black Friday has been going on now for about 2 weeks. How an event that's supposed to be one day manages to be ongoing is beyond me. Although I learned over Thanksgiving dinner that this year, with Thanksgiving occurring the latest it possibly can be, has resulted in the shortest shopping season to Christmas. You almost need like an astrologer or something to figure this out. Hence, according to, you know, Madison Avenue and whoever else, the need for an early, long, and extended Black Friday. And closer to home, yesterday I met with some of the fabulous children and youth of our parish and heard about some of the traditions in their homes for this time of year. Christmas trees imminently entering their homes, if not up already, and a lot of other exciting things underway and about to happen. And to top it all off, Mother Nature herself is poised to give us a snow covering of maybe a foot or more, starting probably right after this service, which should provide a very nice backdrop for everything that is kicking into gear. So, it is definitely 'tis the season. When it starts can vary. In comparison to the rest of the world, the church is rather late, officially beginning today with its unique special way. So yes, Thanksgiving is over, Advent is starting, and I, for one, am ready for some Christmas. Let's bring it on. With care and delight, I want to hear again the message of the angels and go in heart and mind even unto Bethlehem. This is a story I, for one, never get tired of. The majesty of the angel Gabriel going to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. The wonder of Mary, perplexed and pondering, but most willing to join in God's audacious plan. Kind and understanding Joseph, willing to be part of something beyond his comprehension. Majestic monarchs joining with awestruck shepherds, with a host of angels and barnyard animals gathered together to behold that babe lying in a manger. So yes, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, bring it on. But hold on a minute. None of that is what we hear in today's gospel lesson. Instead of an introduction leading us to the Nativity, Jesus talks about just as in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Lord. That doesn't sound very Christmassy. Sounds a little more ominous, if you ask me. Because the one thing we know, when you talk about the days of Noah, we're talking about the weather. It rained, and it rained a lot, resulting in a major flood that destroyed everything. How is this connected to Silent Night in old little town of Bethlehem? The church, you see, is not in sync with the secular world when it comes to this time of year. Advent never begins by directing us first to Christmas past. Today is all about Christmas future. The Christmas yet to come that will match the Christmas that took place 2,000 years ago. And today's gospel is a startling reminder that God forever refuses to play by our rules. It's what God did in a stable in Bethlehem, and it is what God continues to do and will do going forward. While the emphasis all around us is to look back and perhaps seek comfort of Christmas past, Advent calls us to anticipate the challenging reality of Christmas future. Advent is the season of hope and of great expectations. It is a time when we are reminded and called to look to the future with confidence. Why? Because the coming of Christ and the breaking through of God has always been and will always be a good thing. It was good 2,000 years ago, and it will be wonderful up ahead. Let me be clear, though. It may not be safe, but it most definitely will be good. There was nothing safe about that first Christmas. Mary took a tremendous risk, risking her very life, saying yes to God. Joseph took a risk, holding on to and believing in his beloved Mary. You know, those were two people who meant the world to each other. But no one, none of them, had any idea of the full extent of what they were involved in. I think that's how they were able to do what they did. Without knowing the full picture and having only limited insight, they persevered and did what they did so courageously, humbly, and inspiringly for the rest of us. And never forget that when it comes to the Christmas story, there's only one person in that story who understood what was going on fully and completely. And that person was King Herod. And he didn't like it at all. It terrified him, and he did everything in his power, knowing what he knew, in order to try and stop it. Knowing that God continues to want to break through to our lives and our world, Advent offers the opportunity for us to prepare ourselves for what God intends to do next in our world today and tomorrow. It is time to get ready for new developments of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because ready or not, they're coming. Jesus uses three images to help us to come to grips with the suddenness and unpredictability of God's activity in the world to come. First, he reminds us of the story of Noah and the flood, emphasizing, though, not the flood itself, but the days leading up to it, pointing out how everyone but Noah and his family went about their normal routines, the ordinary business, the ordinary things of their lives. But here's a little something to think about. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? It's not clear from the Bible, but given the numerical references, it seems, and it's a good guess, that it took Noah decades, maybe 50 years or so, to build the ark. That's a long time. Talk about having faith, perseverance, and not giving up. More importantly, though, it was also a very long grace period for everyone else to see what Noah was up to and possibly change their ways, resulting in maybe, with the help of God, a lot of people building boats. But sadly, they didn't. Instead, one day they were caught off guard when in reality God had given them actually ample opportunity to get on board and be part of God's plan. Next, Jesus gives two examples of similarly sounding situations, resulting in some people going and some staying. Are these frightening events? Not necessarily. Once again, they may not be safe, but they are good. Jesus' point is that when the Lord comes, some people, in the midst of the daily routines of their lives, will be ready to drop everything, do what is asked of them, and follow. Those who are ready will manage this and manage it well. So better for us to be prepared and ready. And finally, Jesus talks about burglary, which, I admit, is neither safe nor good. But Jesus uses this analogy to make the common sense observation that if you know when the thief is coming, of course you can be ready for him, but one never knows when the thief is coming, so you must be vigilant all the time. And my friends, that's the way it is with God. Jesus' message is that we never know, do we, when God is going to show up and break into our lives. So we must be ready at all times. And this readiness is not just about getting ready for December 25th and all the trappings that may go in to getting ready for December 25th. And please know, whatever traditions you have for getting into December 25th, I want to affirm and support you in them. I am not against the celebration of Christmas. I love it. I'm all for it. But this readiness that we're hearing about today is about getting ourselves ready for life and for the future. The objective of Advent is to remind us that we live our lives kind of bookended, snuggled between, surrounded by, however you like to think of it, Christmas past and a Christmas future, both of which are for us and for our salvation, and both of which are inherently good. And none of this, I want to be clear, is meant to scare us. It's meant to remind us that the kingdom of heaven is everywhere, even where and when we don't expect it. And so our obligation, should we choose to accept it, is merely to get ready. The question, though, is how? St. Paul, in his letter, offers some useful advice. He recommends that we lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. In other words, we have some letting go to do as well as some taking on. Knowing the goodness of God and realizing we are living between the comfort of Christmas past and the hope of Christmas future, now in the here and now is the perfect time to let go and lay aside those things that hold us back. Things like our fears. The fears that hold us. Fears like the fear of living itself. Think about it. The most common message from God is what? Fear not. Think about how much it will please God when we, with all sincerity, are able to reply back, and I am not afraid. When we're in that state, that is life-giving and life-affirming. If we can lay aside fear and start to live boldly in the here and now, other works of darkness will also quickly fall aside. Things like guilt, shame, cynicism, despair, defensiveness, and self-centeredness, to name but a few. All life-destroying energies that exist like parasites, consuming us from within, they'll all quickly fall aside because none of them have a place in the kingdom of heaven. The armor of light is a metaphor for how we keep ourselves ever prepared and ever ready for the goodness of God. It's about living a life worth living, a life of faith, hope, and charity, a life of selflessness, a life of service and dedication, in which our primary goal is to strive to always want to honor God and honor those around us, including all of God's creation. The readiness and preparation of Advent is primarily nurtured, then, through an opening of our hearts, a willingness to listen to God's word and to go God's way. We have to take the risk of beating our own personal weapons into utensils beneficial for us, for others, and for the world. The Christmas message from heaven is peace on earth and goodwill from the Creator to the created. We must work on making peace in our lives. So let's lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light and commit ourselves to acts of charity and goodness and fill our lives with hope and generosity. But you know, the truth of the matter is, God's kind of sneaky. God is not obvious. God never calls ahead, and God never provides us with full insight. God makes appearances and makes himself known when and where we least expect it. God comes to us in unusual ways, through unlikely people in unexpected places. God worked with a man who spent a lifetime building a boat for the ride of his life. And 2,000 years ago, it was a little baby born in a stable because there was no room for him anyplace else. Who knows who or when or where is next? It could be you. It could be here. It could be us. And it could be now. Whoever, whenever, wherever it is, the one sure and certain thing we know is that it will be. So let's get ready, because God is coming. Amen.
Let us